On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bogeyman Golf Podcast, hosted by Michael and Johnny. Johnny, are you ready to get hurt again? Because Rory is back.
He is back. I'm completely ready. I'm all in. I know that I cashed out on Roy McIlroy at the start of the season.
You had a knife in his back twisted it.
I said I wasn't going to buy into the hype. I said it doesn't matter. Whatever he does, nothing matters except for the majors. Except for the Masters in particular. But like honestly, after that performance yesterday, I'm all in. I've all my chips firmly in on Roy McIlroy. Actually, except for the fact that I'm backing Bryson to win this, but I'm emotionally all behind Rory McIlroy.
I think it was a slightly different kind of week from and yesterday, the way he played. To me, it was like that's how he should have played in the US Open when Wyndham won.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And I think, or you could probably argue St. Andrews as well at the Open. It's like those two, he was on, you see, his form was good, but he was just terrified and didn't want to lose it.
Yeah.
Whereas
he spoke previously about, like, for that year, his whole thing was about being patient in majors. And it really seemed like he was just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then all of a sudden, he was on the 16th or 17th hole at LACC, and you're like, ah, fuck, I've waited too long. And again, the same thing at the Open. He waited, and then Cam Smith went off and went on his run. Whereas this time, it was just like an unbelievable drive on one, hits it to like 8 feet with his approach, makes the birdie. Xander goes long, gets up and down for the par, and you're just like, right, here we go. And it was just from the outset, you're like, this is going to be Rory at full tilt, like at like running speed. And I was like, yeah, I'm all here for it. I'm here all for it.
Like, I actually really enjoyed Sunday. Like, I like it, the duel kind of before it even started, you knew it was going to be the two lads going head to head. And I think it posed some questions and answered some questions on both of them. It was a really interesting Sunday. And I just thought Rory was, he just seemed confident and relaxed and sure of himself and was just, the golf he played was, I mean, I call it PlayStation golf. I mean, like, even as far as the eagle putt he had from whatever, 33 feet. What was that? Was that on 10?
Yeah. Oh, that was an unbelievable
like
putt.
And, you know, and his bunker shot later on. Like, it was just, it was so, so good. And you put that beside Schauffele, who, in my opinion, kind of crumbled.
Oh yeah, like a chocolate digestive in a cup of tea. The man just like he lost all of his integrity, fell apart, and he didn't do many things wrong until the 10th hole when he didn't make that eagle putt when he left it short. He'd obviously been leaving it short all day long, but he went like par 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 until 7, makes that eagle. And I'll be honest with you, even when Rory 3-putted for par on the 7th hole. And Xander went to mid eagle, I wasn't worried because we saw Rory. He was playing aggressive. He was playing front foot. The bogey he made on the fourth hole, that was just. I think that was always going to come. I don't think he was ever going to get away with shooting three bogey free rounds in the last three rounds. But then when it just came to like he made, yeah, fair enough, bad par on 7. But like the birdie he made then on 8 was massive. The birdie he made in 9. When Xander again doesn't make birdie,
yeah,
you're just like cool. We're all square again. We're in the exact same place we were realistically before he even teed off in the first hole, because we were saying this beforehand. Although Rory was technically a shot behind,
yeah, I don't think he was chasing.
Really like,
yeah, I don't think he was chasing. It wasn't like all. Oh, we came from behind to win. It was like I think it was literally the two of them were you know,
yeah,
a final.
Absolutely, and honestly, I don't think from watching the pre-round coverage, like Sky Sports basically were treating it as if they're. On the same score, their level, because everyone was just talking about how far Rory hits the golf ball, how much further he hits it than Xander. Now, Xander also hits a good golf ball.
Yeah, like, I saw a lot of this. And even Xander's comments at the end. It's Rory McIlroy. He hits a 330 in the air. You're not that far behind him.
Yeah.
And yes, okay. There is definitely a couple of shots. There was maybe two clubs in it. But Xander's not short.
No.
And Xander did not lose that because he's shorter than Rory.
For sure. Like, the first hole is a good example. Rory, his drive, if the ball finished 77 yards ahead of where Xander's ball did. But that's because Rory was able to take the corner a little bit more. So, like, in terms of ball flight, it probably didn't fly any different. It's just Rory's able to get it a little bit higher and just kind of get over the trees where Xander probably can't.
Yeah.
And so just taking a more aggressive angle, yeah, that makes a big difference. But, yeah, Xander's not a small hitter of the golf ball at all, so... But Sky Sports is like, their analysis of like, oh, Rory hits it so far. Like, he's basically gained that shot back instantly on Xander. I was like, okay. But yeah, like I said, everyone had that opinion as well, where it's just like, yeah, he's back to level pegging. So yeah, I was very comfortable when they stepped up on the 10th tee. And then Rory obviously makes eagle, and you're just like, game on, here we go.
Like, to me, it all came down to putting, really. And I thought, I don't think there's a problem with Xander's game at all. And I think this narrative that he's unlucky because his finishes have been so close, and he's come against lads who play really well, like third at the American Express, fourth at Genesis, second at the Players, fifth at the Valspar, now second at Wells Fargo. This narrative that, like, oh, we got unlucky that he hit a Scheffler and Rory in form. I'm not buying that. I think Rory won that tournament.
Yeah.
But Xander lost it as well.
Yep.
And his putting...
People did not like that when I said that on Twitter last night.
I saw that.
People were like, oh, no, Rory won this. I'm like, yeah, no, he did.
But Xander also lost
Xander,
it.
Like, Xander, from the 10th hole onwards, just turned around and like a little puppy showed Rory his belly and was like, gosh, give me a scratch.
He shot himself in the face. I think like his putting and... I think he's leaving it short, and this is from someone who leaves a lot of putts short. It's pure fear.
Yep.
That's the only reason for it. And then he had two or three which he completely misread. And to me, it was out of pure fear. And I think I've said this before, but Xander doesn't have that killer instinct. I think he's got the game to be a major winner. I think he's got the ability. I think he's got all the credentials. But he doesn't have the killer instinct. And winning is hard. I appreciate that. I get that. And I think he doesn't really know how to block out everything, put his foot on someone's throat, and win. And if he ever does win a major, I think it'll be where he all of a sudden has a four-shot lead and no one chases him at all, and he just... processional
plods
the way through.
Along.
Plods the way along. And probably hits some... And everyone's like, he's a really good golfer. But when it came down to him feeling Rory's breath right behind him, I think he caved and bottled. And his comments afterwards saying that, oh, Rory played very well, I'd like to think that's what he's saying publicly. But he went straight in with his team and went, how do we sort the psychology of winning when it's really tough?
Yeah, because I think if you're Rory, let's have this exact same scenario next week, right? You have... Xander and either John Rahm, Brooks,
Scotty,
or Rory also in the final group with Xander. I think every single one of them looks at Xander and goes, ah, he bottled it last week. I know that I know that he's going to do the same thing again.
I'll take him down.
I'll say, like, you just know that, like, it's like when you play a team in hockey or in football or any sport, you go, ah, we have their number. Like, we know what they
even
do.
Even if we go 1-0 down.
Exactly.
We'll be fine.
We know how to turn this around. Like, we know what they do. And we can count this as a win because we know we're going to get the win in this game.
He's very Spursy. He's very like Spurs, where play good football could be good, but just never going to win.
Yeah.
You know, very Spursy. That's what I would say Xander is. And I don't think there's no one dislikes him. And no one, but he just doesn't have that fire to go and win.
Yeah. And I think that those guys would all look at Xander in that final group and go, that's grand. That's fine. Because they all know that they can just take that step up. You know, and they can do that magic thing. Whereas Xander doesn't seem like has that magic. You know, he's like, oh, I'll just shoot like 67, 68 every single round. And it'll just be solid and really consistent.
I really hope like Xander doesn't finish this season and go, do you know what? I was solid. I played really well, you know, third, second. I think like because that's not where he is in that bracket. I think he's got the capability in the game to go and win a lot.
Yeah.
He needs to be pissed off. I think Sander needs to sit down and go, I'm sick of coming third, second, fourth. I'm sick of this. I want to go and win.
I'm also sick of people like taking me for granted.
Yeah,
a bottler.
Like. Yeah, that would really piss me off if I was Andrew. I think that's the kind of attitude he needs to get.
Mm.
And if it has to be a little bit of the Brooks with a chip on my shoulder, I'm not respected, blah blah, grand. So I'd love to see that story unfold for him in the next kind of year or two. But I was just so disappointed in him. Listen, again, not taking anything away from Rory. Rory was excellent.
Ah, he played amazing. He shot 65 with a double bogey on the last hole. He shot 65.
Yes, no, yeah, but Rory can do that. The question I have here is, like, is there an asterisk on this?
Because Scotty's not in the field.
Scotty's not there. Xander started to bottle it 10, 11, 12, and Rory's just like, birdie, birdie, birdie. As you said, he could hit it into the water on the 18th. Grand. Is there, like, we don't know, but had Scotty been there? Would Scotty have kept up with Rory?
Yeah.
Would they have, like, had that the Mickelson Stenson thing where they just kept pushing to the wrong, pushing to the wrong, pushing
for
to the
sure.
wrong?
For sure. I think two things to that, right? I think if Rory makes that par on the seventh hole, the par five, and Scotty makes that eagle, he just hits the gas and runs with it. At the same time, I still think Rory loves Kyle Hollow. Like, he's won there four times. Like, he's won there with different, like, he's been a different person, obviously. Like,
yeah, first different player. It, yeah, yeah.
He won it when he was 20. Like, he just knows how to win around there. So I still think Rory would have gone on to shoot that 65 number, probably wouldn't have gone for two on the 18 and would have, like, laid up to a number or whatever. And I think it would have been a lot closer. Because, like, Rory held out from the bunker. He still did those magic things.
Yeah, and it's like
those magic
putt,
things.
Yeah, that minute. So, like, what I'm loving to see now, and this is my big question, is, like, who right now, who's the better golfer on their A-plus game, Rory or Scotty?
Because
Scotty was so good at the Masters, but then you're looking at Rory going, like, I think with Rory even just playing there on Sunday, I think he has another level to go to.
Yeah.
I think he has a better level. Does Scotty have a better level than what he's going at? Because he's middle of the fairway, middle of the green. Does Scotty have the real magic that Rory has? And that's maybe coming from a biased point of view, because
we're Irish. Yeah.
But, like, Scotty's like, sometimes when you talk about Scotty, it's like, have you ever played with, like, a decent pro? And I remember playing, the first time I played with a pro, and so when I finished it, one last was like, oh, what was it like playing with him? And I went, a little underwhelming, actually, because he hit the middle of the fairway, and then he hit the middle of the green, and
he
missed the birdie putt and knocked it for par. And I was like, there was nothing magical. It wasn't like barely in any bunkers, you know? I'm looking forward to it. I'd love, from an entertainment point of view, Scotty Rory, final group next week. Both of them are on, and it's like, I'm going to gun you, and Rory's in this mood going, I'm going to gun you, bring it. And I think if Rory loses, if Rory doesn't win the major, well, doesn't win the PGA, but he plays well and he's gung-ho and he's gun for it and he played like the way, I will not put a knife in him whatsoever.
Oh, no. I mean, like,
if he does what Xander did and Scotty wins, I'm having a go at him.
For sure. I think there's two ways. Like, I think we're talking about as if Rory's already in the final group on Sunday for the PGA.
But he's got two wins. He's the most informed player on the PGA.
Ooh, second most informed. Scotty Scheffler is still number one. Yeah, but, like, Scotty, over this season.
Oh, no,
you got to take it
season. Yeah, no,
you can't take it for the last 2 weeks when your man hasn't played.
Like. Yeah, no, but my point is the two most informed players are Rory and Scotty.
Yeah, definitely.
And if I asked you, if I put you put €1,000 on who the two in the final group is tomorrow, you'd be like, well, if I offered you Scotty and Rory from the PGA side, you go, well, it's a pretty safe-ish bet.
Yeah.
Because they're so informed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's the only thing we can run on.
Yeah, probably. So Roy's a funny one where, like,
as
quickly as he can get hot, the man can get equally as cold and just be like, what the fuck happened? Where are these massive rights coming from? But missing a left.
You could bring me on Saturday. He's like, man, he's not going to eat me a Friday. He's not going to stay around for the weekend.
Now, I mean, like we're saying, Rory and Scotty in the final group, if they both go out and shoot, like, 65,
66. Bazillion under.
And Rory, and Rory loses by a shot in that shootout. I'm like, that's cool. That's fine.
You've turned a corner.
That's exactly the opposite to what happened at the Masters, where like Scotty got to the 13th hole and was like, yeah, I have this one. It's boring now, guys. Yeah. You're like, I'm just going to fairway green, two putt, good luck. Whereas the two of them go out and just have like, just like, What's that Mexican shootout or showdown?
Yeah, Mexican standoff.
The two of them have a standoff.
What was it? The duel in the sun.
The two of them just start firing at each other, and like it would just be so good to watch.
The two captains of the Ryder Cup teams, and they're just had, like, you know what I mean. The big players on the side going at each other.
It would be it'd be like science versus faith.
You could exactly.
No, I don't think there's an asterisk. I think there's probably a bigger asterisk on the New Orleans win. Like, if you're to count it as a win.
Yeah, definitely. But, and with that, I actually looked it up. Sam Snead with his, whatever, his 82, his 83. There's loads of real dodgy wins in there as well.
Yeah,
so
100%.
I think it just goes, if it's a PGA, it's a win. End of story. And there's no argument. You know.
But 26 wins is a lot. And that's only on the PGA Tour.
It's impressive.
That's a lot of wins.
It's impressive.
It's a lot of wins.
And even though he's been, you know, he hasn't won a major in 10 years, he's picked off some big tournaments all through those 10 years and played some really, really, really good golf at certain stages. So,
could you imagine what's going through Scottie Scheffler's mind as like the good God-fearing man he is, that like he and Rory are tied going down 18 and he was like, I have the chance to potentially ruin this man's life.
His golf career, because he's just up and I'm going to... I don't know if he could. I think Scotty put his foot in his throat and ended.
I think he would
Scotty's a big Christian, but I think he's a killer.
He'd do the Christian thing and crucify you.
Oh man, I don't think he's any problem in doing that. I think the Masters was one. He was just like, lads, get out of my way. I don't care. Yeah. Like, hey, work, get out of my way. Like, you're done, lads. Like, I don't really care. But
that was a little different though, because they all kind of shot themselves in the foot. You know, like Morikawa, right in front of Scotty, just put one in the water. Edberg did it in the group in front. Whereas, like, imagine they're going blow for blow and they're tied in this match play situation on the 18th. And you're just like, one of us needs to do something big here. I think Scotty would be the person to really just put Rory away.
I think Scotty has that killer in him. But then again, I think Rory got ahead and he held a bunker shot, or, you know, a massive putt, say 10 or 11, you could see Rory start twisting the screws and go, this is my time.
Yeah.
I'm a geek. I don't care, Scotty.
Yeah.
And I think Rory would love the fact that he's taking down Scotty. And he's fired up on it. Mm. Because I think
Rory is very ego-driven.
He is. I think we know Rory's hero is Tiger, but I think Rory wanted to be Tiger and beat him and be better than him. Do you remember that ad of them on the driving range and they're hitting the into apartments and into glasses of water and stuff? Rory went to Nike to be like, oh yeah, Tiger's Nike, but I'm going to do it better than Tiger.
I'm going to be
my own Nike, and stuff was slightly different. So, and I think as a golfer to win, I think that's what Xander doesn't have.
Mm.
I think Rory has it.
I think the parallels between Xander and Scotty are actually very, very similar. Super consistent. But the difference is Scotty, up until recently, wasn't making those putts. But he was putting himself a little bit tighter and he was making those putts. And then that's just when he became like unbeatable, basically. Mm. So it'll be really interesting if they are paired together. And again, like, we're also talking about the parents haven't come out yet. The last thing that I would want to happen for the first two rounds
is Rory,
Scotty, Brooks. It would just be like, we got to have that as a fight. Because if they're all going around their own thing, Scotty's just going to go off and just play his golf and just play great. Whereas you want that kind of match play piece where you want Rory to step up on the first tee and hit this massive towering wedge to a couple of feet and just look at Scotty and just go, showtime. Whereas if they're doing that on Thursday or Friday, when it doesn't really matter, like as a head-to-head, it kind of loses its juice. And then they get comfortable with each other when it comes to the weekend. I think we need to keep them apart.
I agree. And I think Rory needs them to be apart.
Yeah.
Rory needs to be off on his own and just him and Harry and do their stuff. Interesting, do you see at the end when...
Tell you what, Harry Diamond, good caddy.
Yeah.
We've always said that. We've always been saying that. Great caddy.
Obviously, I have no idea who presented Rory with the trophy or anything, but he turned to Harry. And Harry was right beside Rory at the kind of presentation. Mm-hmm. And he turned to Harry and goes, like, how many flags have you got? Harry's like, none.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rory's like, no, I like to keep them. I like to keep the flags. And then Rory goes, Harry can have the trophies if he wants. I don't really care.
Yeah.
And it's just laugh. And I was just thinking to myself, yeah, trophies, whatever. But I think Rory has this thing about golf courses of where he likes, what he wants. And I can actually see that he likes the crest of the golf course with a flag on his wall or in his whatever.
Do you know what? I
can see why he likes that.
I say Rory has an Augusta National shaped flag hole in his wall.
Like Brooks does on his trophy cabinet.
I say like bang smack right across from his in his gym or whatever it is, yeah, in his office. I think there's like a pin flags perfectly placed bang smack in the middle of that room where he's like, I can't fill that spot. The only thing that has to go there is the Masters.
Yeah, like Brooks in the Netflix thing, Brooks has the same thing where he has lights in behind his trophy cabinets and he has them open bare, yeah, for the next ones, what he wants to win. Yeah, definitely. As golfers, we all do that. I think the one of mine was, I think I still have the golf ball. For the very first time, I finished 118 round, 18 holes with the same golf ball. I still have the golf ball because I'm just so wild off the tee that it was 7-8 years of me trying to do that. Yeah. I think I still have the golf ball.
This is a funny one. We're going to go down a rabbit hole here. I've never won anything in golf. Like I've won competition.
That's a shame.
Go fuck yourself.
I won twice last year. But I mean, so you're Xander, and I won twice.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That's so true.
You're so consistent in your 5 handicap. Here's me off 16 with 2 wins.
All right, that's the end of the podcast. Thanks, man.
No. I killed Michael.
Yeah. I've never won anything, so I don't have like a desire to have a trophy or whatever it is. I'm sure if I ever did win a little trophy, I'd be like, cool, this is, I want that.
Nothing's on the mantelpiece. I have my trophy. Yeah. There's nothing else.
But so I, in Manjulia, obviously my family have a house on site. So there's a residence trophy, it happens every year. It's kind of like your captain's prize, president's cup,
and
all that.
People that live on.
Exactly, yeah.
How many times have you played in it?
Every year for the last 5 years. Right.
Got close.
So this is where the story gets amazing, right? Is 2 years ago, I won it, right?
Okay.
But then Manjula turned around and go, you're technically not the resident.
Your dad is.
My dad is. And I was just like, I won the trophy. And Matt Sandercock was like,
you're not on the
You won. Name. You won the thing. You don't get the trophy. And I was like, are you kidding me? He goes, listen, rules are rules. I was just like, this is outrageous. I was genuinely angry.
So you lost on a technicality.
And then, the guy I played with, lovely guy, nice guy, right?
Were you in like a final group with him?
It was just a one-day thing.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yeah,
he was also in my group, and he just played dog shit. Because bear in mind, the residents, the clientele of these competitions are people in their 60s,
wealthy businessmen, and they're near retirement age because they're not athletes.
I'm an athlete. Definitely not saying I'm an athlete, but none of them are single figure golfers. Like they're all mid teens to high teens to 20s, and he just played brutal for the entire day and scored 30 something points. But I was like, this is everywhere. I think I shot 40 points as well for the day. I played great golf, and then I played the year after, and I just didn't give a fuck. I was just was checked out. I did not care.
But you can't win. It's a shame your dad's not the same name as you, so you could fiddle the junior senior stuff.
Yeah, if only me and Julia kind of know who we are at this point.
I can't wait when your family are sitting down deciding who gets Taste Me and Juliet, and you're like, I don't care who gets it as long as my name is on the lease, guys.
Yeah.
I'll never stay there. You guys can have it, but my name has to be on the lease so I can win that.
Or at least just for 1 week.
Yeah,
one
just
day.
For that week, my name's there.
I don't even know what I'd do if I won an actual tournament which had a trophy at this point, because I've never won one. As someone that has won celebrity pro-ams.
No, I didn't win a trophy though.
Yeah.
I did win.
That's kind of at this point.
I won whiskey and a speaker and stuff. I gave you the whiskey. I did win the painting. The ISPS Handa. So I have that painting. That'll be, that's a great. I actually need to get it put down the bottom just to say
winner. Engraved so, for what yeah. it was.
And then I won it close to the pin, so I got a trophy for that.
Yeah. I'm going to be at the, I imagine you will as well, but you'll be on school summer holidays, the Irish Open Media Day in Roekenny Down.
That would be a nice
one. And now if you won that, I'd be like, this is great. I would go out and buy myself my own fake trophy. Yeah, yeah. for yeah. that.
Roekenny Down,
I'd be like, I won something in Roekenny Down. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, geez, that would be a nice one to say. Like, have you ever won anything? Well, now that you mention it.
Yeah. That'd be
But something. Winning is hard, though.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Like, I think even where we're talking, people that even when you and I are playing a match against each other, like, it's tough. Like, when even with lads in their four ball and there's €2 on the line, more bragging rights. Lads, I think everyone kind of has free, like, winning is actually tough. And it's Tiger's kind of ruined it for everyone because we all think you just go out and just smash it and win it. Yeah. Like, same with Scotty, it's kind of like it, but it is tough.
Speaking of winning, the Myrtle Beach Classic was also on that week. I really liked the idea of that. We spoke about this last week, the YouTube golfers qualifying for it. In the end, like, it wasn't just YouTube golfers. There were other, like, Korn Ferry and whatever guys invited to qualify. And it was one of those guys that qualified.
Yeah.
One YouTuber did also play. It was Wesley Bryan. But, like, Wesley Bryan's also, like, a professional golfer. He played in a PGA Tour event before and made the cut this year, actually. So he was, like, a proper golfer as well. But I really like that idea. I think, like, in the same way that the Legends Tour has their celebrity pro-am series, I think you could run this as a series long or season long, you know, qualification and or like mini league or whatever, company league, that would get your younger people into golf. Like, the good guys, a few of them played in it. Had the four play guys in there.
Peter Finch played.
You had Peter Finch in it. Like, if you're Fat into Perez. Yeah, they're great crack. And if you're into YouTube golf, it's a great way of getting into tournament golf. Because, again, like, it's not like the big events that these guys are playing in. It's the you know, the opposite field events. So you can push the boat out a little bit more. Maybe even get some of those YouTube fans on side for the PGA tournament. Make it a bit rowdier, a bit more fun, a bit more lively. And it's a good way to just making the game a bit more entertaining. I wanted to watch it because I saw the guys tried to qualify.
I actually watched it as well. And I thought the thing about it, I think YouTube now is people are kind of going to YouTube more with golf because it's not as long. Like, you see, if you're new to golf and you sit down, you try to watch a Saturday or a Sunday, it can be hard for context and you don't know who anyone is. Whereas when you walk onto YouTube, the more you're getting to know the lads a little bit more. I think it's growing. Like, my kids watch YouTube. They just want to watch YouTube. They don't watch TV. They want YouTube on the TV.
Yeah.
So I think from that point, I think there's a definite shift for people looking with YouTube and golf and those lads that are characters and fun to watch. I think I enjoyed it, and I thought if it's something that's going to bring more eyes to a tournament, more bums on seats, more people through the door, they have to go and do it. Because at the end of the day, that's going to make more money. It's going to make the tournament better. It's going to make it more spectacle. It's going to make it more enjoyable.
And I think it's a much smarter way of advertising than just having, like, they could have done it with just, like, famous actors or, like, done what they do with the Pebble Beach Pro-Am and have, like, Jason Bateman and a bunch of other people along to try and qualify and play in the event, which would have been fine, but not nearly as engaging. Whereas, like, YouTube golfers, their audience are golf fans.
Some of their subscribers they have is
millions.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. They're getting bots or something because there's billions upon billions in them. And I just, it's like, you know, that and those as like the Rick Shields and the Peter Finch, you know, those lads, like they've
been doing this for donkeys, though.
Yeah, they have. And they've just got thousands and thousands of followers.
Millions of followers.
Millions, yeah. But it's just, I think it was a smart way to go, and I think it was a shame. I was actually hoping Fat Perez was going to get into the PGA, and
he is like actually such a good golfer.
And like Bob does sport, like he was his caddy. I don't know if you watch it, but basically, Bob, your man Bob was like gunning things for him, and Fat Perez was like,
didn't trust the numbers.
Like he's like, wrong. It's not 150. He was like, what? And then like he turns the camera, he's like, have you thought about lunch? Like, what's the story with food here? Now?
What's the play?
What's the play here? Like, is there player dining, or are we going to get a burger? I actually thought it was like, okay, Fat Perez getting annoyed when like should have brought someone who knew what they were doing. Like, I thought it was very funny.
I honestly thought that was so funny. And watching the different YouTubers I hate that word because also we do a lot of YouTube content, but
we're not YouTubers
not at all. But watching the different people and their experience of the day was so funny.
Their own videos and you know, prepping for it. And it was...
You could tell who was taking it a bit more seriously.
Like Peter Finch was taking it seriously.
He took it very seriously.
I respect that. Yeah. He was taking the Masters and listen, I know he tries to qualify for the Open and stuff, but that could be his closest thing to PGA or the Open, whatever. And why not take it as just you and I take a match against each other extremely seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
Anytime we're playing in any tournament, we're taking it. Because I say to you sometimes, we're going full tour pro or we're going out for a quick nine, we don't care. No, we'll go tour pro. Okay, we'll get into it.
Even when we played the Irish Legends Tour event last year, we took that very seriously.
I clean my clubs
You played 5 days.
I played 5 days. I clean my clubs every single night. I clean my golf shoes every single night. I was laying out my clothes beforehand. I was ironing those polos beforehand.
Wow, you never iron.
Oh, no, not at all. But it was that was my tournament because, no, I think there was there was crowds when they were watching Teddy Sheringham and Peter Baker.
Yeah.
And that was really cool, and that terrified me, but it was one of the coolest things I've ever been part of.
Yeah. So why wouldn't Peter Fridge take it seriously? But my point was watching it from loads of different perspectives was brilliant. So doing that 4 or 5 times throughout the season, amazing viewing. Because if they're doing that, let's say that format gets taken and they apply it to the DP World Tour, and there's going to be an Irish Open version of that. Would I watch that? Would I go to that event? Absolutely.
But I'm also
reflective of their audience.
Yeah, because
I'm much more likely to buy tickets, go to the event, do all that stuff, rather than I said, if they just made it a celebrity thing.
It'd be if we were, I was trying to think, because the court, the tournaments we were at this year in Ireland, the ISPS hand, or last year, the ISPS hand, the Irish Open, when I was looking through it, I was looking through all the...
God, we even took the ISPS hand very seriously.
Yeah, but when I was up there, when I was looking at the tee times, the girl that ended up winning it was, I knew her from the short game, from Netflix.
Yeah.
I went and watched her play two holes because I knew who she was.
From the Netflix series.
I went, oh my God. And then her dad was still caddying for her. And I was like, that's so cool.
Really?
Yeah, still caddying. And I was like, that's really cool. And I didn't realize myself, geez, I could go and watch some of the pros. But I've just gone over to watch two of the holes. So if we were at something like that and there was a Peter Finch, I go, We go with Peter Finch for a hole or two.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and then Austin, we can go watch Shane, and if we stay nip around across there, we'll get a hole of Peter Finch, whatever. You know, I think definitely.
Yeah, I think it'd be very, very good to do. But it's interesting. I think congratulations to get Chris Goddard, by the way, who won the event. It's kind of irrelevant, to be honest.
Big win for him.
Which is the point. Big win for him. But you've got a theory on the kind of the golf landscape, which you've dubbed the championship of golf.
Yeah, it was kind of something that I kind of liked how there was two tournaments going on at the same time, and I haven't thought this through fully or how it would work, but I'd love there to be maybe a league system.
Because your premise behind this is the world of golf at the moment as we know it
sucks.
Yeah, it's not good.
It doesn't. And I even think when beforehand, when you had the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour, it wasn't quite working. And then even when the PGA Tour came on, it's we need to help make sure it comes across. It still wasn't right. It wasn't clear cut on what was going on. And did everyone go to the PGA Tour? Did some people stay? And they weren't, if they were both equivalent, the same standard. Okay, that makes sense. So I think if you could have a world tour where you had, say, 4 tours, and you got the Challenge Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour, the PGA, DP World Tour, and you worked out how there could be a Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4, but there was promotion relegation.
Use the Premier League and the EFL as an example. Yeah.
And I think anyone who watches football, the championship playoffs are going to be on soon. And anyone who watches football will have them on the background this week because the dream of getting into the Premier League and getting in there is better than the lads fighting it out at the bottom of the Premier League. So there's that part of it, I think. But you could have where if you did a 3-week, you split the season up into 3-week tournaments and little blocks.
Mm.
And you had bottom 5 from each one gets relegated for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And the top 5 of them get up in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So my thinking is they're going, you'd still have people coming up and down. You'd be able to see how things are going. If you had them in off weeks, you go, I'm watching the second tier because lads can get up. For example, like say JT played terrible, gets into the bottom five, gets relegated to tier two. I'd watch tier two to see JT try and get back.
100%.
Ricky Fowler, you'd have a you know, if Alex Noren goes there and kind of come back up, like Keimer, Molinari, you can see where they go. And everyone, like everyone knows golf is tough, so they could drop to three, but you could go within 6 weeks, you can get back up.
Yeah.
So you're still having that thing. Like, and if you win in tier three, that's you in tier two for the rest of the season. Maybe if you win in tier two, that has you in tier one. You know, you could do something like that if you're in tier one, whatever.
There's a couple of exemptions for it and stuff like that. Well, yeah,
whatever, totally. You know, you could still have a, but then you could still have this. You'd be going, who's coming up, who's coming down, who's on the cut line, who's, like, you could be going into a tournament going, oh, I'm going to actually, I want to see Sky could show JT. JT needs to come top 10 here to stay. I think that would be pretty cool. And if you did it, maybe you're kind of around the world. I mean, obviously, I want to be around the world. I want big tournaments in Europe as well as not just in America. I don't know how you'd sell it to sponsors. Do you sell them the 3 week package? Is the
or even how you sell the players,
the four golf 3 week spring, the Callaway 3 week block, whatever. And I don't know how the players are gonna feel about it, but I don't know. It was, to me, it was kind of like there's just so many little tours and trying to get into everywhere. It would be really simple to someone walking in. It's four tiers. Yeah. Anyone is 3 months away from the top of the game. You know, so it's not 3 years maybe, because, you know, lads' windows are short or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's a really clear schedule to know for these 3 weeks we're all gonna be in Europe, these 3 weeks we're gonna be in America and whatever.
Yeah, I like it. I also like the volatility of people going up and down. Like if you're playing bad over in 3 week block number one, in 3 week block number two, you have to play in tier two. Yeah. I love that because
you could split out the money. Yeah. You could make it where it's, you know, I know the money's a big thing for the players, but somehow you could maybe work it out. And I don't know, like, you know, I don't know how you work out the money, but make it where if someone gets relegated, they're not now unemployed, but it's still that I want to be in the top game because all those lads still want to play at the top of the game, but there's a little bit more jeopardy for not playing well. And I think with Liv, that's the biggest thing. There is no jeopardy. There is no, if you're crap, you're still getting paid in the bottom.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't matter. Like, I mean, the PGA Tour has that two-tier system basically already. There is the opposite field events for the signature stuff. So you would probably just run the same way, where it's like your tier one has, like, you're paying for $20 million every week or whatever it is. Tier two, you're paying for $10 million or $15 million.
Yeah.
Tier three, you're paying for this many million, and it just goes down. So you're always still making money. Like,
yeah,
we're talking about millionaires remaining millionaires.
Oh yeah, here. I think the money is going to be hot, but it's you, and I don't know how, if you wanted to do 50 50 50 50 or 60 60, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
but it was just like there is a very clear, okay, he's better than him, he's better than him, he's on the up, there's four, whatever.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. It's I like that idea. I think golf needs a very clear cut pathway, and it just doesn't have it at the moment. But I don't think we're going to be the ones to solve it, though, either.
No, but I'm happy to sit in a room with the PIF and PGA Tour, Deep World Tour, and thrash this out.
Like, Guy Kinnane from Deep World Tour, give us a call.
Like, I've got the time, you know?
Got nothing but time. Very quickly, before we move on, Michael, your Breaking 90 video is going to be live this Wednesday, so that'll be tomorrow by the time this podcast comes out. That is in association with G4 Golf. A very special thanks to Michael Green in Michael Green Golf Merchandising for setting us up with G4. He kind of introduced us to the guys over, Ben and the team over in the UK with G4. They're a very good partner of ours now. We're obviously, I'm actually wearing their stuff.
Full kit.
Right now, yeah, full kit wanker, that's me. The gear's lovely, but so that video that you did, you're also in the full kit.
Yeah.
And you're trying to break 90 for the first time, which is, it's an interesting watch.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting watch. I thought there's a lot of really bad golf in there. There's also some surprisingly really good shots.
There's some stunningly good golf in there.
The one that keeps sticking out to me that I'm really, like, I kind of, you know, when you replay a shot over, like when you're sitting having a pint afterwards, you're like, I'm going to forget that four putt. But like the bunker shot on the par three, 13th.
Oh yeah, the amazing bunker shot.
That
was, I thought you were saying a bad bunker shot. I don't think you hit a bad bunker shot.
No, that one to me, I was like, ooh, maybe I can play a bit of golf.
Yeah, you nearly jarred it. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, so it was, and I think that the pressure of trying to do it. I understand Xander after that, to be honest, because pressure and me just parts of that I was folding like a very poor deck chair.
You did collapse at one point. You managed to kind of bring the structural integrity of your game back a little bit, and it came down to the last putt on the 18th hole, which was very interesting.
Yeah, and there was enough people walking past.
What I loved was, like, obviously two of your mates were walking past the 18 green to start their round, and they're like, "What are you doing?" And you're like, "I've got to not three putt this to break 90." And they were like, "I'd be grand," and you'd like a 60-foot putt.
Yeah, and then there was people on the balcony as well, like having a bit of a shout over as well, because obviously you had the camera. It was just, it was that point I realized I was just like, "Please God, let this ball get in the hole in less than these shots, please, please."
Oh, it's so funny, but it was very impressive. That video is gonna be live. Michael's got a very funny clip that we'll put out today on Tuesday, just to sum up how the entire day went. It's a very funny, like, 20-second clip, 10-second clip.
I even clipped it myself when I was watching it. I went, oh God.
Oh, it's so funny. I laughed so much. The one thing that this sent out, though, when I was filming that, because obviously we both mic'd ourselves up for that, is how well you drove the golf ball.
At times, yeah.
For the most part. Three bad drives.
To be honest, I think it was such a high handicapper thing. Like, there was sometimes I was like, oh my God, that's amazing, that's class. And then sometimes I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very enjoyable. And it was nice. Like, so obviously, like, you didn't play really. So it was like, some holes you didn't hit a shot at all. So it was like, you were like talking to me about my game, whereas normally I'm on my own, like, you know what I mean? So it was interesting enough to be, you were like, are you sure you want to do that? And I was like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, there are a few times where I was like, because you have like these incredible peaks and troughs in your game, there are times I'm like, that's not the percentage play. And I won't say it to you, because I've seen you hit that ridiculous shot and a pull off and be like to like 5 or 6 foot from the hole. So I'm like, but this could be, you know, the 1 in 8 time that he hits that shot. And I was like, you know, statistically it's not going to be.
Yeah.
But well, let's find out together. And then you hit the shot and you go, yeah, it wasn't a shot.
Yeah, probably should have Texas wedged that instead of knifing that back out into the bunker.
But yeah, it was, that video is going to be live Wednesday morning. Honestly, very, very fun watch. We were obviously talking about YouTube earlier on. The video is less than half an hour long. Got full shot tracer on it. Mick was mic'd up for it and everything. Very, very funny. Well worth a watch. Rosang, she won the Cognizant Founders Cup. Second win on the LPGA Tour in 12 months.
Man, she's still only 21.
Yeah, it's sick, isn't it?
And it put a halt to
Nelly Korda's run
as well. But like Rosang, like, she's so enjoyable to watch. Like, if anyone is listening and hasn't just seen her, just throw a name into YouTube and watch 5 minutes of her highlights. She's such a good golfer, like such a nice swing, and their tempo is so good. Wouldn't surprise me if she, over the next year or two, she goes on a serious run. Like, she's still in college in Stanford. She's still doing stuff during the winter.
Yeah, it's mad.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I think we're going to see like Nelly, Rose, maybe a couple other players from the women's side kind of do Annika level of wins. Like, just what she did was like, Annika was obviously the outlier, but we're going through this generation now of having 2, 3, 4 really, really good female golfers that it just makes it very competitive and makes it really good to watch. So I think in the same way that, like, hopefully now this week in Valhalla we'll have Brooks, Rory, Scotty kind of going head to head, the women's golf really seems to have that kind of week in, week out, which is it's good for the game. More brands, for lack of a better word, in the women's game, get more people to watch it. Like, it's all just good to grow the sport.
More personalities as well.
Yeah. After that, then Peter Baker won again in last week against Barbados Legends, hosted by Ian Woosnam. The man just, ever since you played that pro-am with him, the man just hasn't. You obviously gave him a swing tip.
I gave him absolutely nothing. Probably just. Well, it's the podcast bounce. You know, you come on the podcast, you get a win. Like, that's the first. First tournament on the Legend Tour schedule.
Yeah.
So he won the Order of Merit last year.
Well, yeah, because he won like five times.
So he's making like, and it's going back.
The Irish Legend. So
yeah, Irish Legend is coming back here, a place where he's won before. He knows it really well. So you know what? I wouldn't be betting against him winning it again.
If the conditions are anything like they were last time, you got to think that he's going to do very, very well there. We're actually going to be there on the 22nd of May. We're obviously partnering up with the OFX Irish Legends Tour event. So we're going to be filming a nice little roundtable discussion. You, me, Roddy Carr, and Des Smith. Just four legends of Irish golf. Yeah,
just four lads that just know golf inside out and backwards and have played at the highest levels, you know, and hung out with the greats of the game. Like,
yeah, so that'll be really good. We'll have like a full kind of roundtable discussion. Got to get on course with them, film some nice bits on the golf course, and just have a bit of crack with them overall.
It's one of the things with Roddy. I remember being in Killiney a couple of years ago. I was quite young. Like, I was playing with his son, Jamie, and he came out just to for the last kind of couple of holes. And we were messing around last couple of holes, and he took one of the clubs and he says, "Right, lads, how are you going to hit this shot? You know, I think it's the 8th in Killiney down the hill."
Downhill, yeah.
So I think a couple of us were just on that hill. And he's like, "How are you going to hit this shot?" And I was like, "I'm just going to try hit the ball." And he grabbed a couple of balls out of Jamie's bag and he hit a missile into the sky and it landed, didn't move over 2 yards from the hole. Then the same club mixed it up and hit this low one that didn't come a foot off the ground, all the way along the ground, about a foot from the hole. And he's just like, "Remember, lads, you can just hit any kind of shot you want." And I was just looking at him going, "I'm just trying to hit the ball here, Roddy." Like, he's like, "There's like a million ways to put it the same place." And it was then I realized, like, Jesus, like this. I was young enough, but it was like, this guy just knows golf inside out and backwards. Yeah.
So any chance that we get to ever sort of sit down with Roddy or anyone from the Carr family, really, and just pick their brains and just kind of get some stories and just even just take a bit of wisdom from them is always a nice experience. So looking forward to sitting down with them and having a conversation. That'll be probably like the guts of an hour, I'd say, because we'll podcast it up. We'll put it out on YouTube as well. But it'll just be great to just hear from the two of them. Obviously, they hosted the Irish Legends event last year. They're hosting it again this year. Sea Point has just been announced as the host venue for the 2025 Flowgas Men's Irish Amateur. So it's obviously a tournament venue and a championship venue in a lot of senses now. And Roddy Carr and his family are obviously very involved in actually the ownership of Sea Point as well, or the management of Sea Point. So it's just very, very exciting times. It'll be good to kind of pick their brain. But let's finish this podcast the way we started it, looking ahead to the PGA Championship. We're going back to Valhalla, we're going to Louisville, Kentucky. Rory, last time he played in this major, he won the 2 weeks leading into it. Now again, he's won his two starts leading into it. Brooks Koepka is the reigning champion. He obviously won at Oak Hill. He won last week in LIV Singapore. He's the most successful LIV player, 4 wins. Scotty Scheffler is doing Scotty Scheffler things. Like, those three guys going head to head. It's also a very funny graphic on Instagram. Who's the worst player in that trio? Like, right now, who's the worst?
Between Brooks, Scotty, and Rory. Is it Scotty? Statistically.
Nah, it's, yeah. I mean,
yeah, well, it's going to be probably Brooks then.
Yeah, I'll say Brooks, but like, it's. He's pegging him as the worst golfer in any conversation. Yeah, like, is a weird thing to say.
Also, Brooks at a major, especially at a PGA, you can't back against Brooks. Like, and I mean, if he turns up and turns it on, like, he's a match for the two of them. I genuinely think he is. You're also missing, there is a legend in the field.
Well, there's a couple of them. Tiger Woods is going to be back in the field, isn't he?
Not the legend I'm thinking. He's in the field, but not the legend I'm thinking of.
Oh, Taylor Gooch. That's who you're talking about, isn't it?
Not Taylor Gooch. A bigger legend.
What, Rich Beem?
Rich Beem. Good man. Big guy, yeah.
Yeah, won a 16 pass champions to be in the field. The Rich Beam's playing. Do you know he actually has Eric Anders Lang caddying for him?
No, he doesn't, does he?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool.
That's cool. I like that. I don't know if
Eric's going to be any use to him as a caddy.
No, but that's not the point. They're filming it and they're doing the whole thing. Like, but I think that's great. I think, like, there you go. We were talking about the YouTube stuff earlier on. Like,
yeah, it's a great one.
I think it's really good.
I actually only read this during the week, but I was looking up what Valhalla means. Do you know what Valhalla means?
I actually do. Isn't it like Viking heaven?
Yeah, so it's this from Norse mythology where the Vikings, where they basically had the big feast and celebrated with the gods. That's a class name for a golf course.
It's cool, isn't it?
I think that's just so cool. That
could you imagine if the food was terrible though in the clubhouse? It's gotta be good.
It's gotta be good, it has to be.
Yeah, I like that.
18th hole's really cool. It's like kind of horseshoe sort of thing where like it pulls round and there's a bunker in a weird spot. It looks like an island green as well. It is a cool golf course. If you get the chance to, before it comes on, it's like banging into YouTube for a little view over, or even any whatever magazine has a kind of rundown of some of the holes.
Yeah,
there's like three really cool holes, and I think 18 is really cool looking.
Mm. Do you want one thing? One storyline that's kind of gone amiss in the lead up to this PGA Championship, and kind of I think flies under the radar a good bit, is Jordan Spieth going for the career Grand Slam.
Yeah, no one's talking about it. And I think Spieth in one of his press conferences said that it's all about Rory doing it, but he's like, you know, but like I can do it. I'm going to go. And he was kind of saying, well, Rory's always out there and he's always in the front of stuff, so that's why he gets it. But I think it's because Spieth has been so bad that if Spieth manages to win the PGA this year,
if it would feel like it came out of nowhere.
Just as much as Phil winning it a couple of years ago, out of the blue.
Yeah.
But that's what Spieth is like. You know, he's so bad sometimes. He's so good. But I'd be like, man, Spieth coming down the last stretch to create the career Grand Slam. Him and Miguel,
amazing.
That would be some story.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be incredible to watch. Like, major weeks are just different. I can't wait to sit down and watch this. I might just go watch the highlights video from 2014 just to get pumped for it, and then
just the pain of Rory not winning is going to hit you.
I'm all in. All my chips are in on this.
Yeah, you're like reading back over the text of an old relationship, just letting it hurt you, knowing that
she'll take me back.
Yeah. You know, just rereading it. Oh, it used to be so good. Now it's so bad. And then you see her in a nightclub, and it's like, oh, maybe she.
Maybe I made the right call.
Yeah, or no, but she gives you a chance. There's a look or something, or there's a, you know, that's what happens with Rory. He just he's ready to break your heart every time.
So you're saying there's a chance?
Exactly. You're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, but I mean, listen. At the start of the season, we both made picks for who we think are going to win each of the majors. For the PGA Championship, I said Bryson DeChambeau. You said Wyndham Clark. Just running through their forms as of late. Bryson's it's not great. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not great.
He did good Masters, though.
He did, yeah. So he came tied for 6 of the Masters, but his last 2 finishes on LIV have been tied for 28th. Before that, was tied for 7th in Miami and Hong Kong. Yeah, a little concerning on the old on the Bryson front, but his odds are like 40-1 each way to win.
The one thing I say about Bryson is if you look back at the last time the PGA Tour was in Valhalla, the two winners are Tiger and Rory.
Yeah.
Both of them smashed the ball a very long way. They both led the field in driving distance by a country mile. Does that mean Valhalla is for someone who is long, or they were just the best players at that time? You know, possibly. But Bryson does hit it long. So, you know, the stats will show that it does massively help.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be soft, like the weather is projecting it's going to be because it's going to rain, flying the golf ball long and then being able to hit your approach shots in nice and tight on a soft golf course, I got to think someone like Brooks, Bryson, Rory are going to do very well here. So,
sure, Bryson might have made himself brand new wedges by the time he hits
Valhalla.
Have you seen the video of him showing it to Phil?
I love that. I thought that was great.
I actually think it's something that, you know, Phil had a go at the PGA Tour saying that LIV now allows them to do YouTube and stuff like that. Like, I'm not saying PGA didn't, but it's something that has really come out of LIV is Bryson's personal, as you said, you're actually a fan of Bryson now, whereas before you probably didn't really like him.
No.
And that's pretty much down to his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I think
it's just like anything, you get the chance to see a bit more of his personality. And yeah, he's a little quirky. He's
also
a
calmed
weird.
Down a lot. He's not I think there was a part of him was trying to piss people off.
Yeah.
You know, and like I think he's, as you said, like I think you said why he kind of he's matured and grown up a little bit. But I think Bryson has kind of found his feet in himself and in the golf environment, or you know, whatever. I think he's kind of found his place and where he kind of sits, and he's matured into it.
Remember, like Bryson's like only just recently turned 30, you know. So when he was saying all that stuff 5-6 years ago, he was 24, 25. Like he was an idiot. He was like a typical kid in his mid 20s, like saying stupid
and
shit.
And he's
like,
quirky and a little bit like he was wearing that stupid hat and everything. Like it's so.
God, the hat. Thank God that's gone. So you backed Wyndham Clark then, and Wyndham's record has been okay-ish?
Mixed bag. Like he missed the cut at the Masters, but then he had a second at the Players, but third at the Heritage. Maybe 47th, 50th or something in the Wells Fargo this week. So
he's
a mixed bag. But like, with Clark's a funny one, because he seems to be that mixed bag and very unpredictable in what he's going to do. I thought he was going to have a better year this year. I thought with a sports psychologist, with his, you know, being more another year under his belt on the PGA Tour, a major under his belt, things would have settled down. Now, still early in the season, you know, I mean, he could easily put a really good week together, win that, and then he's in a good place. But again, he's someone that I've kind of grown to like over a little bit. I wasn't a big fan of him really at the start, but he's starting to grow on me a little bit.
Me too. Actually, no, not me too. Yeah, he hasn't grown on me at all.
Yeah, you don't like him.
I don't like him at all. No, so don't know why I said.
But that's the beauty of it. Like, before it was you liked Hovland, Alec Morikawa.
Do you know what actually just wrecks my head about him? Is he plays so slowly. I watched the early round coverage on Sunday. Himself and Patrick Cantlay. Patrick Cantlay is notoriously slow, but we all gave Cantlay shit about that last year. We need to start giving Wyndham Clark a bit of shit about his
speed.
About how slow he is, particularly on the greens when the caddy comes in with the wedge and does some practice points.
That
needs to piss right off.
Yeah, there has to be something where there's even, I think that needs to be real, where like caddy's going to do so much.
Yeah.
Because I think.
When does it become coaching?
Yeah, when is it overstepping?
Yeah,
the mark. Like, and I think playing with someone who slows is very annoying, and we spoke of this last week, but also being in the tournament and watching a group be really slow on a hole is actually a killer.
Yeah. We probably dragged this out enough, so we're going to leave it at that. I'm going to tune in, watch a lot of the PGA Championship. I'm very excited for Valhalla. If I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to get hurt. That's okay. I'm accepting that. Rory's my guy. Enjoy the PGA Championship.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.